Praise the Lord. What's today? March 6th. I should know that. Our message this morning is help, Lord. We find ourselves crying out to God for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes it's obstacles we face in life, adversaries we face in life. Sometimes it's just being overwhelmed by circumstances. We find ourselves being overwhelmed and we cry out to the Lord. And praise God, He hears us and He answers prayers. In 2 Kings 6, starting with verse 26, says, "Then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, 'Help my lord, O king.' And he said, 'If the Lord doesn't help you, where can I find help for you? Help from the threshing floor or from the winepress?'" If God isn't the one who helps us, where are we going to find help? There's no help. There are people that can try to be nice. There are people that can try to aid us in some way. But if the help isn't coming from God, who sees the end from the beginning, who knows exactly what's going on in us, what's going on around us, how effective is that help going to be? We need to trust and rely upon the Lord. When we cry out, "Help, Lord," recognize He may use people in our circumstances to provide that help, but the help we get is actually coming from God. Those of you that are familiar with this passage, Israel is, this is the northern kingdom, is being surrounded by an enemy, by the Assyrians. They're under siege. Things are really, really, really bad. And in the midst of this, shortly after this, you know, just another couple of verses, the prophet says, "Tomorrow, everything's going to be cheap. Tomorrow there's going to be an abundance." They're in the middle of a famine at this point. The king says, if the help doesn't come from the Lord, where are we going to find help? And God provided the help right after that. Praise God. You ever cry out to the Lord just because you're completely overwhelmed, and in a simple, what's seemingly a simple thing, just something just completely out of thin air shows up, and it actually answers your need? God working behind the scenes. God at work, even when we don't know what's going on. In Psalm 143, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness answer me, and in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is distressed. When we are pressed down, when we are oppressed, when we are overwhelmed by circumstances." We have examples in the Scripture of crying out to God and trusting God to answer. And God is faithful. The answer may not come the day you pray. The answer may not come when you want it. But the answer will come right on time. The answer will come when it needs to be there. My God is never late. He just doesn't follow my timetable. God is faithful and does what needs to happen. As we recognize that our life belongs to the Lord, especially if we've cried out to Him, given our lives to Him, recognizing that I was making a mess out of my own life, couldn't do it anymore, and we asked Him to forgive our sins and to become Lord of our lives. We've asked Him to become Lord of our lives, and sometimes we're like, we want to take that Lordship back. And pressure will come. Pressure doesn't just come because we're sinning. But pressure comes when we're sinning. You know that, right? Pressure doesn't just come because of situations. But God is teaching us. He is molding us. Working us like the Scripture tells us, like clay on the potter's wheel, or refining us like silver and gold are refined. We see these messages, these illustrations in Scripture, and know that God is at work. One New Testament writer says, we don't yet know what it is that we will be, but we know when we see Him, we will be like Him because we will see Him as He is. He's at work changing us and making us more and more and more into the image of His Son, more and more and more into the image of the Father. Because Jesus says, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. As we're getting to look more and more and more like Jesus, we're looking more and more and more like the Spirit, like God. We're becoming more and more examples of who God is, to be lights and witnesses to the world around us. And He calls us to seek His face. In Psalm 12, beginning with verse 1, it says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. Do we feel that way sometimes? You look around and everything, everybody you meet is messed up. Lord, isn't there anybody that does Your will? And then we look in the mirror and say, Lord, isn't there anybody that does Your will? We need Jesus. Verse 2, they speak idly, everyone to his neighbor, and with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Have you ever met somebody that always has something real good to say, but it comes out of their mouth and never seems to hit their eyes? They always have... You always get the feeling there's an ulterior motive. There's always something going on. But then the question is, does it ever come that way out of my life, out of my mouth? See, we're called to encourage one another, but we're also warned in Proverbs about a flattering tongue. We want to encourage somebody, but we don't want to give a false flattering. We don't want to give a false illustration, a false way of communicating with people. Because if you're flattering somebody, chances are you're buttering them up for something. At least that's how I used to be. But are we doing that? Or are we rather trusting the Lord? Lord, help me be more in what You've called me to be. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. Lord, help me to be an example and to be a light. Because I don't see a lot of examples and a lot of lights out there. Help me to be what You want me to be. We can't change anybody else. We can't make anybody do what God called them to do. All we can do is live out the life that God has given us, live out the calling that God has given us, and trust that be an example for the other people around us, that they might see it and understand. Help us, Lord. Psalm 37, beginning with verse 39, says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. We have this promise in Scripture that our help comes from the Lord. Another psalm says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, the Creator of the heavens and earth. God is our help. We read that first in 2 Kings there in that situation. But crying out to the Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, work in this circumstance. Work in this situation. Lord, I'm overwhelmed at work. Lord, I've got a task and I don't know how to do it. Lord, I'm fighting with my neighbor. Lord, I'm at odds with my spouse. Father, whatever the situation is. Lord, I have a child that won't speak to me. Whatever the situation is, we cry out to the Lord because He is our only help. He is our only strength. He is our only God. If the Lord doesn't help us, where are we going to get help? We just read that in 2 Kings 6. But God tells us to bring our requests before Him. Not to be anxious for anything, but by everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto the Lord. Bring our request before Him. Help, Lord. Lord, we need You. The psalm right here, Psalm 37, verse 39. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Praise God, I don't have to come before the throne in my own righteousness, because my own righteousness is not good enough, because it's not perfect. It's not even close, to be fair. But my own righteousness is not perfect. We come before the throne of grace having the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is given to us as a gift. It says in Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12, when you claim His soul, Jesus' soul, as a sacrifice for sin, He, that is the Father, looks down and sees Jesus standing in our stead and is satisfied. We come before the throne of grace having the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is imparted to us because of His finished work on the cross. That's why Paul can say, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. My life is not my own. It belongs to Him. And because it belongs to Him, He has a plan and purpose for it. And my will is that His will be done. In my life, in my circumstances, in my situation. Psalm 61, beginning with verse 1, says, I hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. And from the end of the earth I will cry to You when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for You have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy, and I will abide in Your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of Your wings. Selah, stop and think about it. Lord, You've been with me. Hear my cry. From the ends of the earth I will cry to You. You have been my helper. You have been my fortress. You have been my shield. You have protected me. And I will abide in Your tabernacle forever. Help, Lord. And He does. But sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't recognize what's going on. Sometimes we get confused. Romans 8, beginning with verse 25, says, but if we hope in what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. It's that with perseverance part that gets me. It's one thing to wait on the Lord. It's another thing to wait on the Lord and expect the Lord and God's not coming. And that perseverance, getting impatient. God, where you at? God, didn't You see my timetable? Didn't You see my schedule? Didn't You see my plan? Wait with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows the mind, what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Growing up in a Pentecostal church, they would always talk about this, the Spirit making intercession for us. And they forgot the part where it says, groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, if that's what's going to be the justification for speaking in tongues, what about that can't be uttered? But our groaning in our spirit, just sometimes overwhelmed and nothing comes out of our mouth. You ever get that way? Just whatever the circumstances are, just a weight on our heart and crying and wanting to cry out to God, and seems like you can't find the words. There are no words. But there is a yearning in my spirit, and I pray and I recognize that God knows exactly what's going on within me, and I can trust Him to be my help and to be my strength. You can trust Him to be your help and to be your strength. He is faithful in all of His ways. Crying out to the Lord, even when no sound is coming. That Spirit of the God, of the Lord in us. God knows exactly what's going on in our lives. And He's called us to seek Him. He's called us to cry out to Him. He's called us to draw close to Him. And He gives His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit working through us, communicating with the Spirit, with God. Praise the Lord. Two more passages of Scripture, both having dealing with God providing deliverance and the expectation of God doing that. Both having to deal with big battles, with large armies. But when we cry out to help for the Lord, it's not just about physical battles. It's not just about major world events going on. We cry out to God because there's a burden. There's something in our heart. There's something in our life that we need help with. So if we only look at the war battles where God delivered, we might miss the point that God is involved in. God knows everything about us. And He cares about everything about us. Jesus said, a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without the Father knowing. And He says, the very hairs on our head are numbered. If God is paying that close attention. Remember, there's a verse in the prophets that says, every time we think upon His name, it's written in the book. Jesus says, for every idle word you speak, you'll give an account. God is paying attention to what goes on in our lives. And He loves us. When we cry out for help, regardless of what our situation is, He hears and answers prayers. In 2 Chronicles 14, beginning with verse 9, says, then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with a man with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Maresha. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephata at Maresha. And Asa cried out to the Lord God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go out against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let men prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Now, in the verses just before this, we find out that Asa's army was less than half the size of this army that came against him. Remember what Jesus, when He talked about counting the cost? What king, having an army of 10,000 men and having an enemy coming with 20,000 men, will go into battle? Will he not send emissaries? The enemy came against Judah, and King Asa had his army ready, but when he went out before they got to the battle, he said, Lord, help us. Lord, you are able to do this. It's nothing to help it, whether many or those who are few. It doesn't matter if we have all the resources we think we need or not. God is able to help, and He calls us, and He wants us to cry out to Him and to seek His face. There's a scripture that says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for one person whose heart is steadfast on Him, that He might show Himself strong on their behalf. God desires to work in our lives. And also often we shut Him out. We say, I got this, God. No, I'm okay. No, Lord, we're not. We need You each and every day. Final passage, 2 Chronicles 32. Verses 6 through 8. Those of you who are familiar with this passage will know that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, has sent his armies against Judah. They've already taken away the northern kingdom. And he sent his armies and he said, don't let Hezekiah tell you that your God is able to defeat me. Don't let Hezekiah tell you that. Because all of these other nations, their gods, they said their gods would be able to stop me, and they weren't able to stop me either. And your kingdom will be just like theirs. Hezekiah spread out the letter before the throne, before the altar. Took it into the temple, spread out the letter before the altar, and said, God, look at this. This is what He's saying. And then Hezekiah went out to the people. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 8, or verse 6 says, then he sent military captains over the people and gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate and gave them encouragement, saying, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor of the multitude that is with him. For there is more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. All people can come against us with is an arm of flesh. If we're trusting in God, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what we're facing, if we're trusting in the Lord, we come in His righteousness. We come in His might. And there are more with them, with us than with them. But the plan is, and the need is, and the expectation is, are we willing to cry out to the Lord, Lord, I need your help? Whether it's a physical battle, whether it's an argument, whether it's a broken relationship, whether it's an employment situation, whether it's a financial situation, Lord, I need your help. Or do we rely upon our own strength? Do we rely upon our own flesh? Do we rely upon our own understanding and our own wisdom rather than seeking God? I don't know about you. I don't have the answers. But I know Jesus. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know how to fix relationships, but I know the only one who can turn hearts. Cry out to the Lord in our circumstances. Cry out to the Lord in the situations we face. Because even though we might even think we have the answer, there's a very good chance we're wrong. But God sees the end from the beginning and is at work in the circumstances. Just as we mentioned earlier in a time of prayer about the testimonies coming out of Ukraine, how people praying and missiles just disappearing and bullets just seem to just go around and not hit anything. And all of these things that are happening over there, as God is at work in that circumstance, He's at work in our situations. Most of us have testimonies of things that should have taken our lives, could have taken our lives, yet God intervened. We have testimonies of just overwhelming situations. I was thinking this morning of something that happened with my middle daughter years ago. And she basically blew up like a balloon. She was her whole body was swollen, and God healed her. We've seen God heal. We've seen God intervene in people's lives. We've seen God turn hearts. We've seen lives set straight. Why do we think we can do all this on our own? Lord, we need you. Help, Lord. The righteous man has vanished from the earth. Help, Lord. The enemy comes in like a flood. Help, Lord. You have been our defense. Help, Father. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. They have the arm of flesh. With them is an arm of flesh. But with us is the arm of the Lord our God. Lord, we need you each and every moment. We need you each and every day. We need you each and every hour. We need you in each and every circumstance. Help, Lord. Thank you. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Knowing, Father, your word will never return void. It always does that you sent it forth to do. And knowing, Lord, as you've given us these promises in your word, as you've given us these examples in your word, as you've given us these circumstances where people cried out to you and you answered. And we look at our own lives, Father, so many times we've cried out to you and you have been faithful every time to bring us through. And that the very breath that we breathe is a gift from you. The very ability to think is a gift from you. The ability to stand is a gift from you. And you are at work and equipping us for your plan and purpose. You have not brought us this far to leave us here. Yet we can declare, like the prophet, this far the Lord has been with us. This far you've kept us. Ebenezer, this far you have been with us. This far you have been our help. But Lord, you haven't brought us this far to leave us. You are still at work, and we give praise for that. And Lord, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.